And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
The bookkeeper of Auschwitz has died aged 96, before beginning a prison sentence for his involvement in the killing of hundreds of thousands of Jews. In July 2015, Oskar Gröning became one of the last people to be convicted for crimes in the Nazi genocide during World War II. He was sentenced to 4 years for his role as an accessory to the murder of 300,000 people at the Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. He was in hospital when he died and had yet to begin his sentence. Earlier this month, his lawyers made a fresh bid to avoid Gröning serving his sentence after a previous one was rejected in January. German magazine Der Spiegel said Gröning died last Friday, but prison authorities had yet to receive a death certificate. He did not take part in any killings himself, but was dubbed the bookmaker because his job was to count the cash taken from victims on their arrival at the camp. Gröning's court battle was seen as one of the last major trials related to the Holocaust, during which some 6 million Jews were murdered by Adolf Hitler's regime. As many as 1.1 million people were murdered between 1940 and 1945 in the Auschwitz-Birkenau camp where Gröning worked. Despite his conviction, the start of his sentence was delayed by legal wrangling and his ill health. He came to attention in 2005 after giving interviews about his work in the camp in an attempt to persuade Holocaust deniers that the genocide had taken place at a time when most Holocaust prosecutions still focused on leaders rather than the rank-and-file perpetrators. Gröning admitted he was morally guilty for the work he carried out at Auschwitz, which included sending banknotes he found in Jews' luggage to SS officers in Berlin, where they helped to fund the Nazi war effort. Pupils should be taught that abstinence and celibacy are positive life choices, according to the Church of England. It also suggests that youngsters should learn that sex and healthy relationships are good gifts from God and should bring joy. In a blog, the church's chief education officer, the Reverend Nigel Genders, says that relationship and sex education in schools should teach students about healthy relationships and lifestyle choices. His comments, which come alongside the church's response to the government's consultation on relationships and sex education, RSE, which closed last month, say that the church's starting point for the subject is that healthy relationships and sex are good gifts from God and should bring joy. The blog goes on to say that in the church's schools, the subject will be rooted in the teachings of the church, including the importance of trust, loyalty, fidelity, and the Christian understanding of marriage as the context for sexual relationships, as well as the understanding of abstinence and celibacy as positive life choices. Mr. Genders also says children want to be prepared for the opportunities, joys, challenges, and responsibilities of being in relationships with other people. RSE must provide the understanding, vocabulary, and strategies children need to keep themselves safe and to thrive within good relationships of all kinds. It should give children accurate information to equip them for life in the modern world and make sure they are not harmed or negatively influenced by unrealistic or dangerous materials and expectation. Our desire is for young people to flourish and to gain every opportunity to live fulfilled lives, and RSE should teach about healthy relationships and lifestyle choices. Schools will be encouraged to reflect their own ethos and values whilst being sensitive to the needs of the community, including the context of belief, faith, religion, and culture. He adds, in partnership with parents, schools have a vital role to play in the formation of our children. Taking that responsibility seriously means we are not prepared to leave their development to the distorted representations of sex and relationships that are just a few clicks away on their phones and computers, but will actively promote staying safe, developing healthy relationships, and protecting self-esteem and good mental health. That's what good RSE should aim for, as it contributes to an education that develops dignity and respect. Under legislation passed last year, relationships education is now compulsory in all primary schools, while sex and relationships education is compulsory in secondaries. As part of the move, guidance on the subject is being updated amid concerns that the current advice is out of date and fails to address modern-day issues such as cyberbullying, sexting, and online safety. In its response to the government's consultation on what content should be included in the guidance, the church says pupils should be taught that humans express their sexuality differently and that there is diversity in sexual desire. It also says that pupils with same-sex or trans parents, those who have LGBT family members and those who may identify as LGBT, should feel included and find relationships education helpful. The document adds, similarly, pupils from religious or other belief backgrounds should also feel included and their religious beliefs treated with respect and understanding, even or especially where such beliefs may not align with majority opinion. Pupils should be given accurate information as a basis for understanding difference and removing prejudice. Sweden could be set to ban all religious schools following a proposal from the leading party ahead of this year's election. The Social Democratic Party, which currently leads a minority government, has pledged to ban all religious free schools to tackle segregation in the country. Ardalan Shekarabi, Sweden's Minister for Public Administration, said that teachers, not priests and imams, should be in charge of schools. The proposal is not yet backed by Parliament, but several other parties have criticised establishments of more religious-free schools following reports of gender separation in classes at existing institutions. We have to knock down segregation to keep Sweden together. School segregation must therefore also be broken down, Shekarabi told a news conference in Stockholm. Mr. Shekarabi said his party, which had been losing support to the main opposition party, the Moderates, in the most recent polls, hopes to gain voters' support on the issue. Teachers and pedagogues should be in charge of a Swedish school, not priests and imams, Mr. Shekarabi said. Omar Abu Halal, principal of an Islamic charter school in southern Sweden, slammed the proposal as a violation of the European Convention of Human Rights and the freedom of religion. All religious schools in Sweden, one of the most secular nations in the world, are free schools and operate independently while receiving state funding. As it is forbidden in Swedish law to charge for primary education for children up to 18, any non-state-run school receives government funding. There are 71 primary and upper secondary religious schools, which make up 5% of all free schools in Sweden. One is Jewish, 59 are Christian, and 11 are Muslim. There are several other Jewish schools which do not fall into this category, as they do not have specific religious elements in their education plans and exist to cater for an ethnic minority. Segregation, integration and immigration are set to be the main talking points in the lead up to the general election in Sweden, a country which welcomed 163,000 asylum seekers in 2015 during the European migration crisis. The country has registered around 400,000 asylum requests since 2012, or one for every 25 inhabitants, a record in Europe. A Christian couple who had their foster children removed from their care because they did not teach that the Easter Bunny was real have won a court case in Canada. Derek and Francis Bars have also been banned from fostering and adopting in the future by the Children's Aid Society, the CAS of Hamilton. According to court documents, CAS claimed it was the duty of foster parents to tell children about the Easter Bunny. The couple were urged to specifically teach about the tradition of the Easter Bunny bringing chocolate Easter eggs. CAS removed the children on a day's notice, an act which child experts told the court was a potentially traumatizing event. But Justice Andrew Goodman has now ruled in favor of the couple, saying their religious protections under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms have been violated. He wrote in his decision, "There is ample evidence to support the fact that the children were removed because the Bars refused to either tell or imply that the Easter Bunny was delivering chocolate to the Bars' home. I am more than satisfied that the society actions interfered substantially with the Bars' religious beliefs." Speaking afterwards, Francis Bars said, "We are very thankful for it, that we've been vindicated. Our names have been cleared and we don't have that hanging over us anymore." Dominic Verticchio, executive director of the Hamilton CAS, told a local newspaper, "We respect the decision of the court. I apologize for what the foster parents went through." He added, "The couple are now free to adopt and foster again." And finally, a Frenchman who drank excessive amounts of alcohol and then drove 17 times around a roundabout said he had not heard the sirens when police finally brought him to a halt. The dizzying drive was not the 73-year-old's first offence of its kind, Ouest-France newspaper said of the incident in Brittany, Western France. the driver's license was confiscated. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.